recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and some big, exciting transfer news around Manchester United this morning involving Angelo Stiller. Now, this is a player that I and some of you are really, really keen on. It links into Favel, and there's some big updates coming in from Germany overnight about Manchester United's interest still being there. I think this is a real positive because maybe Elliot Anderson, as per last night's show, could be heading towards Manchester City, and maybe we're not going to go anywhere near Tonali and Bruno G, which I think is a mistake in relation to all three. And if you're then left with the Belabers and Whartons of this world, with all due respect, I would like Angelo Stiller to be coming into that argument, because I do think there's a case to say that Stiller is better than Wharton and certainly better than Belabor. So we'll talk about that. Also, we'll be talking about Man United in the Champions League. Arsenal's win last night basically gives the coefficients ranking points that 99. I think basically fifth place is Champions League football now, after Arsenal's win last night. And everyone wants Arsenal to lose, but that win last night actually means that fifth place is a Champions League spot in the Premier League this season, which means Manchester United in third place have a huge, huge, huge likelihood of being in the Champions League next year. In fact, somebody, I don't know how this actually works. I mean, we'll talk about the Stiller thing in a moment, but I don't know how this actually works. I'd probably have to do some visual representation here. But there was somebody saying this morning now that there's a 95% chance that Manchester United will be in the Champions League next year. Now, 95% sounds very, very high, but we have got 55 points and sixth place have got 7 points. So I don't know how it's 95%, because that's a 7 games to go with a 7-point gap. And if Chelsea beat us, that would be down to 4 points. I mean, look, I don't know why it's 95%, but we will, take it from me. I've said for a long time, we're not sponsored by Boohoo Man. I don't know why that's come up. Bit of bonus there. I've said for a long time, I think we'll be in the Champions League. So that's a bit of positive news as well. Also, apparently Harry Maguire turned down the MLS and Napoli to stay at Man United. I mean, I don't know whether I'm meant to be grateful for that. I think Man United should have moved him on. So, you know, the fact that Maguire snubbed clubs to stay at Man United, I mean, does that make it better or worse? I think United should have been in control of that. Not Harry, with all due respect, but he is staying now. So hopefully he can stay and be as good as he has been this season. A little bit about Carrick and the players. There's something this morning coming out that the players may be involved in the decision to keep Michael Carrick as manager, which, again, is incredible. But look, we're going to start off with this Stiller story. Now, if you don't know anything about Angelo Stiller, where have you been? Very, very talented midfielder. Plays for Stuttgart. He's currently 25. He's just turned 25 last week. So right in the area that I think is an area that Manchester United should be looking at. I think we should be looking at Tonali at 26. I think we should be looking at Bruno Guimaraes. And I think we should be looking at Stiller. I mean, most of the midfielders that we're looking at are in their early 20s. Stiller, with Stuttgart, having a fantastic season. They're in the Champions League race, which is incredible for Stuttgart. He is their talisman. He plays in the midfield. Very much like a midfield Bruno, really. And not an attacking midfielder, but definitely the guy that takes the free kicks, takes the corners, is the conductor of that team, but more in a midfield sense, not as a number 10. So I think he's left-footed as well. But I've always wanted Stiller, says Timmy. Yeah, I just think there's something. I very rarely do this, but I did it with Bruno. I sort of got obsessed with how good I thought Bruno would be in the Premier League, specifically at Man United, and so it came to pass. And I feel with Stiller, whilst players can flop from the Bundesliga and they can flop from Europe, I do feel like this player will move, and if he moves, he will not go to somebody like Napoli or Brighton. He will go to somebody like Bayern or Man United, maybe even Real Madrid. I think he is good enough to go to the top level. And I think United would be foolish not to try and do this deal. And we know that Favel will want to do this deal because he knows the Bundesliga very, very well. So it's whether he can get listened to over Wilcox and co, who clearly, if they had a choice between Stiller and Belaiba, would go for Belaiba. But this is what Florian Plettenberg had to say. Plettigoal on X, obviously based in Germany. German journalist says, as revealed in March 2025 and confirmed again, Stuttgart can buy out Stiller's release clause up to 40 million euros at any time for 2 million euros. So price comes into this. Stiller has a release clause of £35 million, which is just cheap as chips. But Stuttgart can pay Stiller 2 million euros to buy out the release clause. Stiller cannot reject that buyout, and he would receive the payout immediately. And his contract, which runs till 2028, would remain unchanged. Only the clause is removed. After that, his transfer fee would be freely negotiable and he would be allowed to leave the club if a top offer arrives. Premier League clubs are interested. So that's the latest around Stiller. However, Ekrem Kunar, who has come out, who writes for numerous outlets, saying that Manchester United are in the race for Stuttgart midfielder Angelo Stiller. The Bundesliga club are planning to demand around 65 million euros for their star. So look, effectively, what you've got is you've got the interest of Manchester United, which has been there but has gone quiet. But you've also got this price. And I think that the release clause, from Stuttgart's point of view, it's a no-brainer. Like, it's an absolute no-brainer. He has a 35 million release clause, but you can give him 2 million to get rid of the release clause. Well, you're going to do that, aren't you? Because if you get rid of the release clause and you sell him for 50, that's 15 million more than 35, and you've given 2 to Stiller. So that's going to get removed. I can't see that being there. Having said that, I still think with 2 years left on his contract at 25 and a Bundesliga side, you're probably still going to get him for about 50 million, maybe even a little bit cheaper, maybe even 50 million euro. So I still think it's a fantastic deal if you've done your scouting on Stiller to get him for under 50 million pounds. I still think that's an incredibly good deal when you consider Wharton will cost you and Wharton's price goes up the minute. What people don't realise is the minute Anderson signs for Man City, if he signs for Man City, the price of Tonali and Wharton goes up because the market becomes smaller. So Wharton's price, I think that goes up. So, and I think Belaiba will certainly be somebody that is going to, you know, Brighton are going to ask for more than 50. They might even go for, I mean, I think with Belaiba, and we're not here to talk about Belaiba, I genuinely find it fascinating if we sign him what we pay, because, I mean, get in the comments, I'm not going to run a poll on this, but Belaiba, if we're all being completely and utterly honest, I would say 40 million. With a straight face, I would say 40 million pounds for Belaiba, because all you're really selling me is a player that had a really good debut season and then his second season's been trash. Well, that's, you know, tell me players over Premier League history that have had a, you know, what about Michu at Swansea? Who remembers him? He had a bloody FPL legend season, Michu at Swansea. He was absolutely incredible for one season and then he was shit. So tell me players that have had amazing seasons and then fell off a cliff. And Belaiba didn't have an amazing season. He had an interestingly good, exciting season. And then that was it. So, you know, the justification for Brighton to charge over 50 is hilarious. But I actually genuinely think Man United, if we buy Belaba, will go north of 50 million. We might even go north of 60. I agree with Jacob. He says United will pay 60 million. I genuinely don't think he's worth more than 40. You can't sell a 22-year-old on a good season the season before last. So I think Belaba, for me, is a £40 million player max, maybe 45. But United would probably go north of 50, maybe even 60. So I think Stiller for 45 to £50 million, who is an established 25-year-old, German international, who, you know, there will be a lot of interest from other clubs. And the most important thing about Stiller is that if you profile him properly, he basically is a midfielder that conducts the game, plays a ridiculous amount of forward passes, can tackle, literally is a midfielder. So he's not a number 10. You could play Stiller in the same team as Bruno Fernandes. The issue you've probably got with Stiller is that he plays where Mainu plays. He would play left side midfield and he would need somebody next to him with a little bit more physicality. So I think that might be the barrier here as well. It might not just be Wilcox and co saying we want to go for British Premier League proven players, not British, but Premier League proven players like Belaba and Wharton. I think also Stiller probably plays where Mainu plays. And I think that is the barrier because Man United want Mainu. And you know, I don't have an issue with that. But as I said to you last night, Man United need four midfielders. So even if Mainu is your player, why would you not buy Stiller to compete with Mainu anyway? I mean, who's Mainu's competition? It has to have competition. What if he gets injured? What if he plays badly? So I think Stiller makes a lot of sense. Look, this is speculative, but I would say Favel is all over pushing for this deal. We have this Premier League obsession. We have to buy Premier League proven. But Sesko came from Leipzig. Diamande's at Leipzig. There's plenty of players that have come in outside the Premier League and been very good, especially people like Rodri. So I think it's about your scouting. I think it's about the quality of the player. And I also think there's a profile of player that Man United need to sign because we severely lack leaders. I think when you buy Mbeumo or you buy Cunha, you buy their talisman. You know, Cunha was Wolves' talisman last year. That talisman means the guy. You know, the guy that gets that team wins and stuff. Therefore, they're leaders. Same with Mbeumo at Brighton, Brentford. Again, a talisman for them, a big player for them. Stiller is exactly that for Stuttgart. Exactly that. Tonali is exactly that for Newcastle. Anderson is exactly that for Nottingham Forest. So I think whatever players Man United go for, you also want to go for the player that is at the club that you're buying from and is one of their key players because that is leadership, you know? So, look, I'm encouraged by that this morning. I think that we have to be in the market for good players. We might not get them. It's Manchester United. And if Anderson is going to Man City and we're not going to sign Tonali, then we should be bringing Stiller into the equation. Now, whether I would have gone Stiller ahead of Anderson and Tonali, I probably wouldn't, to be fair. I'd love to sign Tonali and Stiller. I'd love to sign Anderson and Stiller. I think I said months ago Anderson and Stiller were my chosen two. So if Tonali and Anderson are off, then Stiller and Wharton would do absolutely fine for me. But mentality monsters, as John Lambert says, it's really important. And I think that Taylor makes a great point with the super chat. Is Stiller not what Amrin wanted Bruno to be? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Stiller has a lot of Bruno's attributes in relation to forward passing and creativity, but it's more measured. It's less erratic because Bruno's a 10 and Stiller's a midfielder. So also Stiller is defensively more disciplined than Bruno. So yeah, I mean, look, hold your horses. Bruno Fernandes in the midfield couldn't stand it, but a lot of his assists, they didn't, you know, Bruno Fernandes could break the Premier League assist record. I don't know the percentage, but I'd say over 50% of his assists happened under Amrin when he was in the midfield. So you can play in the midfield and be ridiculously creative. I think Bruno's problem in the midfield is that he was positionally indisciplined and defensively naive because that's not his position and he didn't really understand it. So I think with someone like Stiller, you could have that as well. I mean, obviously, I think they're looking to get it with Mainu, but I think so. I also think price-wise as well, if the worst-case scenario happens and Anderson goes to Man City, you probably would look at it and go, that's really disappointing, but let's get Stiller and another player for £100 million. So you could make it work. I mean, look, we're going to have to make it work if we don't get Anderson. I don't like that scenario. I'll be very critical of the board again if we don't get Tonali or Anderson, because I think they are clearly the two best options out there to replace Casemiro. If we don't get those two players, you're down to option 3, 4, 5 again. And that's not good enough from a recruitment perspective. But you have to deal with the reality. And in that reality, I think Stiller has to come into the equation. I still think you need three midfielders. In fact, if you don't get Anderson or Tonali, I think you need three midfielders more than two, even more, because you're not getting your plan A and B. But I think we need three midfielders anyway. So I'm hoping, and I, you know what? It's quite rare to say this about Manchester United, but I do have this belief and confidence that we don't know all the midfield targets that we're looking at. And what I mean by that is, I think if you listen to the media and a lot of the fan conversation, there is this belief that it's Anderson, Wharton, Baleba. They seem to be the three midfielders, and maybe João Gomes. And João Gomes is legit, as we were talking about last week. But I personally do think Stiller is in there. I think Manu Koné is in there. I do think someone like James Garner could be in there as well. I think there are midfielders that we could move for. And that always excites me, because life's a bit boring when you know what's going to happen. And United have done it in the past. You know, when we went into the summer transfer window this time last year, we had no idea we were going to sign Mbeumo. We didn't know we were going for Mbeumo until the end of May. So we're only in around sort of early April here. We can't predict the players that we're going to sign in the summer. We have a bit of an idea, but we might be working on a couple of deals that they're going to come out in May. They're going to come out next week. So I'm hopeful that not every midfield target is known to us. And I'm hoping that this Stiller story can develop, because I think if we weren't in a situation where we had people like Favell at the club, I'd probably sit here and say, there's no way we're going to be negotiating with a Bundesliga side like Stuttgart. But I think when you've got someone like Favell in the club, you could be negotiating with anyone. Monaco, Sporting, Napoli, Valencia. You just don't know, because his radar is worldwide. And that, you know, that Yoro signing didn't feel like the sort of signing United would have made 3 or 4 years ago. Especially with Real Madrid being the favourites. And I think having someone like Favell means that anything is possible. So look, it's early days on Stiller, but let's hope it is going to develop into something, because I think he's absolute. And I understand a lot of people won't know a lot about him. I'll put my hands up. Most of my knowledge around him is because on That's Football, we've had Bundesliga footage all season. And as part of that, I get loads and loads and loads and loads of stuff sent to me, because we've got access to highlights and all sorts of stuff, which is why I enjoyed watching Bayern last night. I think it was a wake-up call to a lot of people last night about how good Bayern Munich are. I fully expect them to win the Champions League if they stay in form. And I think Stiller is a really interesting profile of player. I think Diamande is as well. I think there are other players in that league, but Stiller would be the number one midfielder I would go for in that league. I think he's a really interesting player, and I think he's a leader, and I think also he reminds me of Bruno in the sense that he's ready to take that step. He's not 21, he's not 23, he's 25. He's at that age where it's like his next move is the move. So if he went to Real Madrid, it's the move. If he went to Barcelona, it's the move. If he goes to Bayern Munich, it's the move. If he comes to Man United, it's the move. And I think it fits in with Cunha and Mbeumo. And if we can get him... Look, I believe, tell me if I'm wrong, I think Mbeumo and Cunha have had bad games, but overall, I think they've been real assets to this team. Because they've, if you compare Mbeumo and Cunha to Rashford and Garnacho, and Anthony, they are better players because they are more experienced, they are more hungry. They've had bad games, but I think they've been good signings. I don't know why Man United wouldn't look at that and go, Mbeumo and Cunha coming into this team at 25, 26, have instantly come into that team with experience and leadership to a certain extent. Let's do that in the midfield as well. But it seems like we're going for young kids in the midfield, but actually I'd be going, well, it's really worked with Mbeumo and Cunha. They've hit the ground running. So let's do it in the midfield as well. And I don't know why we're not thinking about buying two 25-year-olds in the midfield, because it's literally worked for us in the attack. And Mainoo is young and Sesko is young. So I'd be surrounding Mainoo with a couple of 25-year-olds, because I think that's the way to go and give us a little bit more experience in there. Amit says, option two, Stiller, Wharton and João Gomes it is. I mean, I wouldn't mind that, because you get three midfielders. James Cave says, is Stiller a similar profile to Wharton? I'd guess the club see him as a backup option. I'd like to see Gomes come in, as I think his mentality is right, says James. I mean, look, I've got nothing to add about João Gomes other than I told you last week. There's legitimate interest and talks with João Gomes, and I wouldn't be surprised if that really started to ramp up the minute Wolves got relegated. But I think he's definitely of interest. I don't think Wharton and Stiller are very similar at all. I really don't. I think Stiller is way more expressive in his attacking game. I think his forward passes is one of the best in Europe for it. He's more like Elliot Anderson than Wharton, to be honest, because I think he's more all-rounder. Stiller, belabor, Gomes seems realistic, says Keel. What do you think of Stiller, Gomes and Fernandez? I don't mind that combo either, Jerry. S Rank says 65 million Anderson stuff from last night. Remember, McAllister had 100 million rumours before joining Liverpool for 35. So I'm assuming similar things here. Yeah, I mean, look, if you didn't see the show last night, we were a little bit early, which we will be tonight. It'll be a 7 o'clock show because it's PSG Liverpool. But yeah, interesting story last night. We predominantly spoke about it on the show last night, like I say. But the one interesting point is, and S Rank is right, is that there was talk of a £65 million deal. Now, if Stiller goes for less than 80, then Ben Jacobs was right. Whatever he said in November was right. And he said, well, I know what he said. He said, Anderson will go for considerably less than £80 million. So there's something there. There is definitely something in his contract. But I don't think that, as I said last night, I don't think that necessarily helps us, because as we know with Man City, they're probably willing to pay £100 million for Anderson. So if they've only got to give 65 or 70 to Forrest, they'll still have 30 there to go. You can have that in wages and signing on fees. So in a way, I don't know how you beat Man City financially, really. I don't know how you do it. Lee Berman says he might have a Champions League clause. There's something that's quite prevalent in modern football, which is not a release clause. Like, Stiller has a release clause at the moment, which is £35 million. Obviously Stuttgart can pay him money and get rid of that release clause, which I'm sure they will. But a lot of players in the Premier League now, if you sign for somebody, and you think about when they always, so the clause will be, if a Champions League club bids for you, you can go for 70 million. I reckon that might be what's in Anderson's contract or something similar. And everybody in this chat's going to go, why were Forrest so stupid to put a 70 million pound, you can go to a Champions League club clause in Anderson's contract? But think about it, right? When Anderson leaves Newcastle to go to Nottingham Forest, he is not the Elliot Anderson he is a few years later, and he's not playing for England. So there may well be competition for him as well. So Elliot Anderson might have an offer from another club. So Forest say, look, we really, really want you. And if things go really well, we're willing to put a clause in that if a Champions League club offers over £65 million for you, as long as you've been here for 2 years, you can go. It seems silly today, but if you think about it, when they signed him from Newcastle, if they've got competition from, let's say, I don't know, Fulham or Everton, and Forrest go, well, look, we will allow you to go for £65 million in 2 years' time if a Champions League club offers us that. In their head, they might be going, what are the chances that this player that we get from Newcastle is going to become one of the hottest prospects in European football? And in any case, Forrest might square it off with double our money anyway. So These clauses always seem ridiculous now when the player has fulfilled that incredible potential. But at the time, people will do things to get deals over the line. And look, I don't know. I might be speculating there, but that might be the reason behind it. Belaba Gomez, left wing, left back, unhappy summer incoming. It's a Stretford signal. That would be a crap summer, wouldn't it? If Stiller comes in, who would be good with him if no Anderson? Do you think Gomez or Belaba? Do we still need a serious number six? Well, I think Damien, anytime anybody mentions the word serious and Belaba, I take a deep breath, because I just do not think Belaba is a realistic. Well, he is realistic. I don't think he's a serious option. If we can't get Anderson and we can't get Tonali and you get Stiller, I would get Wharton and Gomez. I think that's the three I would go for. I do like Fernandez at West Ham as well. So there's four options there. I like James Garner. There's five. I mean, Belaba still won't get on any of my top 10 list, even if we don't get Anderson and Tonali. Don't forget that Stuttgart asked for 100 million for Voltimeda. I think they would do the same, but maybe around 80 to 90, says Bjorn. Yeah, but also I think that there's a different situation with Voltimeda and Stiller, because Voltimeda is obviously at Newcastle. He was at Stuttgart, and they had interest from Bayern Munich. They had an offer from Bayern Munich. He was a young striker with huge potential. Newcastle were desperate. It happened right at the end of the window. So Stuttgart did take Newcastle for a lot of money. It's not normal, really, for Bundesliga teams to be getting 60, 70, 80 million pounds for a player. Also, Stiller has been a very loyal servant to Stuttgart. He has only got 2 years left on his contract. He does have a release clause, which they're going to obviously pay him off for. So I don't see Stiller going for north of for 50. I really don't. And I think that's ridiculously good value in the modern market to get a player who's 25, one of the best midfielders outside of the Premier League, for £50 million. So I don't see it being massive amounts of money, to be honest. In my experience of the Bundesliga, I don't think it will be. Hi, Mark. Happy birthday. Well done for Monday's win because of the Baller League. Does it mean no watch-along against Leeds this Monday then? No. Man United takes the priority, mate. I will be watching my Baller League team from this studio and doing the Man United game here. So no, Man United takes that contractually. Man United, takes priority. Definitely will be here for the Man United watch along. I just hope my team can win without me. It's like having a match ban. City continuously bend us over, says Simon. It's beyond humiliating. Sick of it. We're never catching them under these owners. Happy belated birthday, legend, says Simon. Thank you very much for that. Amit says, yearning for them lot, Anderson and Stiller as two midfielders. Jack says, Tonali, João Gomez and Stiller, best for the budget, says Jack. And Sudindran says, would you buy Murillo from Forest? I think he would pair up brilliant with Martinez next season, and definitely an upgrade from Maguire, and more so because Forest may get relegated. I think, look, what I would say about this, and it came out this morning from Lookhurst, that Harry Maguire snubbed a mega money move to David Beckham's Inter Miami to sign a one-year contract extension at Man United. He wants to stay at United for another year at least. He also rejected Napoli to remain at the club where he wants to finish his career with. I mean, look, this is great. If you're really happy that Man United have given Harry Maguire a new contract, then this is music to your ears. He snubbed MLS and he snubbed Napoli, and he probably snubbed a couple of Premier League clubs. I completely expect that did happen, and I would fully believe it to be true, because Harry Maguire out of contract probably could play in the Italian league very easily because it's slower, and he could definitely play in the MLS. So I absolutely, do agree that he probably has turned things down. But what I would say is, Murillo would have been a brilliant signing for Manchester United. He's in his early 20s. He's Premier League proven. He's one of the best centre-backs outside the top four. And he's probably going to move this summer to Liverpool or Arsenal, whereas we're going to keep Harry Maguire for another year. It lacks ambition. It's not critical of Harry. It's not negative. It lacks ambition, in my opinion. It's like, let's keep a 33-year-old for another year instead of bringing in somebody better who will be here for the next five. That's how you know, this is my point. And some people just can't do nuance. Like, I'm happy for Harry Maguire. He has played well for us the last 2 years, and I'm pleased for him. I'd say it to his face. I'm pleased for you. You don't need to get angry about it. Stop getting angry about it. Pick a card. I'm really pleased for you, but understand my point as a Man United fan. I'm not team Harry Maguire. I don't do agendas. I'm Manchester United. I don't think Harry keeping you at 33 to play in a back four is ambitious as buying one of the better centre-backs in the Premier League who's in his early 20s for the next 5 years. I've still got to replace you in a year, so you're a stopgap. We're meant to be building a team that can win the league, and we're keeping you for another year. I wouldn't have kept Casemiro for another year. I wouldn't keep Luke Shaw for another year. We need to move on. Man City have won multiple titles over the last few years because they get rid of De Bruyne, they get rid of Kyle Walker. We'd probably sign De Bruyne and Kyle Walker if we could. So I think it lacks ambition, keeping Maguire, and I won't be moved on that. Doesn't mean he's not playing well for us, and he definitely should go to the World Cup, and he may play well for his next season, but I think it lacks ambition. I think there are good centre-backs out there, and I think this is nothing to do with anything apart from money, because that's how this football club is. This is Harry Maguire's on 190 grand a week. They've probably reduced his wage by 50. He's probably on 125 grand a week now, which is a lot for a 33-year-old centre-back, by the way, but I bet he's on about 125 grand a week now. So we've reduced it by, let's say, 60 grand a week, which saves the club a quarter of a million a month, which over a year is, what, 3 million. So you save yourself 3 million and don't buy a centre-back. And that's what they'll have done. It lacks ambition. Lacks ambition, in my opinion. A proper football club would remove Casemiro and Maguire and bring in Murillo and Anderson, or Tonali and Schlotterbeck. That's what a proper football club does that hasn't been near a Premier League title in 13 years. A proper football club goes and buys players to win league titles in the next 2 or 3 years. Man United retain people to save money and then repackage it as he snubbed Napoli and everything else. Liverpool signed Szoboszlai for 70 million from Leipzig, and he's done wonders. The problem is building on the player's potential, in this case Stiller, and currently it's the area we failed miserably in, says Jid91. Zyle says it's enough with the PR. We need a midfield that can actually control again. Sack the board, Jason Smelly Socks. Okay. Sir P says the Maguire thing is smart, Mark, because we don't have the funds to fix it all in one window. I get where you're coming from, but we need to be realistic. No, I don't. You, that's a great comment. You've just basically explained what we've done with Maguire, but it's not smart. But you have explained it. We're keeping Maguire because we can't solve our problems in one window, and that's the realistic situation. If you accept that realism, you can call it smart. I don't expect that realism. Well, Manchester United, let me reinterpret what you've said. It's smart to keep Maguire because we don't have enough funds to solve everything in one window. What, like last season where we didn't solve the midfielder problem? Or the year before where we didn't solve the midfielder problem? Or the year before that where we didn't solve the winger problem? Like every year we don't solve the problems. So I don't think it's smart to keep Maguire and Shaw and everybody else. I think it lacks ambition. I don't think it's smart that one of the richest clubs in the world can't solve their problems every transfer window because they don't have the money. That's because the Glazers plunged us into debt. That's not smart. That's criminal. So don't ever try and explain to me that Man United are acting smart. The reason we can't solve our problems every summer is because we're ladled with debt and we can't do it. But, you know, Arsenal can go and buy an entire bench last summer. Man City can spend over £100 million in January. Liverpool can spend nearly half a billion in one summer. But Man United can't buy players we need to buy, and that's smart. It's not smart, is it? It's debt. And who gave us the debt? The owners. So you can't attribute the word smart to this ownership. But fair play to them that they actually have influenced a proportion of our fan base that think it is smart business. I've seen clips of people walking around saying it's smart business. I mean, There must be an echo in their head if they think it's smart. It's not smart. We're a victim of circumstances where the owners have put us into debt and we have to do things like this. It's not smart, is it? There's a reason for it. It's realistic, but it's not smart. It's because we're in debt. Would the Chargers overhanging City not affect incoming players' decision in joining them? Surely that's an advantage we have for Anderson, says Matt. No. Matt, you've given us a super chat, so I respect and will answer your question. But we have answered this multiple times. The Chargers hanging over Manchester City, stopping Anderson going there. Why did it stop Gehi? Why didn't it stop Gehi going there 2 months ago? Why didn't it stop Semenyu going there 2 months ago? What's changed in 2 months? Even if Man City get found guilty, it will go to the Court of Appeal, which will take years. So if you're Semenyu, Gehi or Anderson and Man City get found guilty, you're still going to get 3 or 4 years at Manchester City anyway. And you've probably got something of a clause in there. So I think you'd go to Man City and you'd be covered off in your contract anyway. Yearning, thank you very much for that. United's taking 1 year at a time, solving each position, says Amit. 100 million for Pogba. Gomez can do Anderson's job, says Josh. Thank you very much for that. Okay, let me just move on because there's a couple of other bits I want to get into this morning as well. This also came in from Luckhurst this morning. The club are expected to decide on whether to keep Michael Carrick or make an external hire at the end of the season. There is a six-man leadership squad led by Bruno, which includes Maguire, Martinez, Dalot, Mazraoui and Tom Heaton. It's unclear if they will be consulted by United's power brokers. Look, as I said last night, with regards to Ahmad's interview saying that Carrick should get the job, no Man United player, whether they're on a leadership team or not, should have any say on who the manager is. And the minute United, and I'm not saying they won't or they will, they might do it. If you're asking me not to sit on the fence, do I think the club will consult the leadership team of players on the next manager? Yes, I do. 100%, I think I do. Because the feedback I've had is that, you know, the leadership team at Man United are very eager to please, without naming names. So I actually do think they will speak to the players about who the manager should be. And that is the worst thing you can do. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, I wouldn't do it anyway. I mean, I wouldn't ask Arsenal. If Arteta left, I wouldn't speak to Declan Rice and Odegaard about who the next manager should be. And that's a team that's top of the Premier League and they haven't sacked their manager for years. So if Arteta left Real Madrid in the summer, I wouldn't get Declan Rice on the phone and say, who do you think the manager should be? And if Pep leaves in the summer, I wouldn't be speaking to John Stones or Rodri about who the manager should be. So I certainly wouldn't be speaking to Man United players who've sacked multiple managers in the last few years. I just wouldn't speak to a player about who the manager should be because I want their employees. If they were coaches or managers, I might speak to them, but they're employees. No matter how good they are, no matter how good a player they are, no matter how much money they earn, no matter how experienced they are, I'm not speaking to you about who the manager should be. There is a chain of command. Your job is to go out on the pitch and win games of football. The manager's job is to coach you to do that. And my job on the board is to be in charge of the manager. I do not need a relationship with the players asking them what they want. You are paid employees of this football club. And at times I'm going to be saying I'm not giving you a pay rise. And at times I'm going to be loaning you out. And at times I'm going to be putting you up for sale. I do not need to have a conversation with you about who the manager should be. United have done it in the past. If they do it again, it would be ridiculous. But I wouldn't do it. What I would do is I want to keep Bruno Fernandes. I think that's really important. And in one way or shape or form, I'd have to figure out what's most likely to make Bruno stay at the football club. But I don't need to ask Bruno's opinion about that. I need to present a project that I'm comfortable with, that I believe is going to make Man United great and is going to make Bruno excited. I do not need to ask Bruno for his input on the manager. I don't. Because that's player power. And we can't go back to player power. Because the minute you start giving... I mean, imagine Michael Carrick's position if the players say to the board, we want Carrick, right? That's great for Carrick now, but next season when you lose 5 games in a row and the players go to the board and go, we got it wrong, he's not the right guy, what happens then? Do they sack the manager? And I should have said that at the start. That's the issue. If you speak to players about who the manager should be I'm sure they're more than willing to say, well, I'll give it to Carrick or go for such and such. But when things go wrong, they're going to be knocking on the door going, we've had a chat. He's not the right guy. And then you've got what happened to Mourinho. And you can't have that. You can't have player power. You can't have player power. If United haven't figured that out, that's scary. Because we can't have that. And you can't have that at Real Madrid. You can't have that at Bayern Munich. You just can't have it. Absolutely not. Anyway, we move. One positive is hopefully it will be decided at the end of the season and not before. I really do want a proper process for Man United. There was also an update today from Saka Tavolieri via Sky Sports. Man United are gearing up for a major midfield revolution this summer. Ugarte likely to leave. Casemiro also expected to go. The club plan to sign two midfielders to restore balance between physicality, creativity and attacking projection. Mainoo is seen as the untouchable cornerstone of the future and is close to signing a new contract. Other targets include Fernandes at West Ham, although he's not a top priority due to Man City's interest. I mean, they seem to be interested in everybody else. Elliot Anderson and Amadou Anana at Villa. I mean, that's another player we probably shouldn't rule out. Anana at Aston Villa. But look, I think what is becoming quite prevalent is this two midfield thing, like we're being gifted. It's like those Ferrero Rocher adverts, isn't it? Ooh, with these Ferrero Rocher, you're really spoiling us. With these two midfield stories, you're really spoiling us. I mean, you're not spoiling. Romano did it yesterday. We've had it again this morning. And it's almost like, I don't know whether there's somebody at United who think that by leaking out, we're looking at two midfielders. The whole fan base is going to go, oh my God, it's not one, it's two. Where if they actually listen to their fans, for most of the season, people have said you need three. Two won't be enough. And we seem to be getting briefed at the moment that, oh, we might get two. And we're all meant to go, oh God, we might get two. Oh, we might get two. And I actually think three is completely and utterly obvious. And even with that update that Ugarte and Casemiro are going, if Ugarte and Casemiro go and we sign two midfielders, we're in the same position we are now, which is every single game, Mainoo and Casemiro need to play, otherwise Ugarte has to come on. We don't have enough midfielders as it is, and you're going to do two in, two out. And it has to be two out. Like, we can't keep Ugarte next season. He has to be moved on. Casemiro is definitely gone. So, it has to be. I'm actually going to say this now, and we can come back to it in August. We have to be signing three midfielders. I just think United might be keeping it quiet. And I understand that. It's a clever move to keep it quiet. But I think we absolutely are signing three. There's no logical reason not to sign three. It's so dangerous not to sign three. I think we're just saying two because we don't want everybody to know that we're signing three. Because if clubs know that we're signing three, they can manipulate us on price a little bit. For example, if we go and try and sign Joe Gomez and Wolves know we're trying to sign three, they know that they can bump the price up a little bit because United need three, not two. And if you only need two and you've got six options, then you can play people off against each other. But if you want three and you've got six options, you don't have a lot of room for manoeuvrability. So hopefully, we will be signing three midfielders. Amit says Wilcox needs to go and study MBA in project management. Thank you very much. Savage says there's no logical reason why Mason Mountcote can't go on loan. I saw the clip again this morning on Instagram from Nicky Butt and Paul Scholes. I'd only read the statement yesterday. I actually saw the clip today, this morning, where they both literally said with their mouths, when Luke Shaw's fit, he's one of the best left backs in Europe. And I'm like, I've got so much respect for Nicky Butt and Paul Scholes, like incredible players. And I like their podcast and I like what they talk about, but it just goes to show we can all talk shit. And I was like, I can't believe they're saying that and backing each other up. Luke Shaw, when he's fit, is one of the best left backs in Europe. And I'm like, I've seen them at Man United games We've seen them sat there next to Sir Alex this season, and I'm like, what is their brain doing when they're watching Luke Shaw and thinking he's one of the best left-backs in Europe? I mean, four years ago, yes. He's been fit all season. He's been playing at left-back since April, and he's been bang at, well, some would say worse. If I'm generous, I would say he's been average. But he's one of the best left-backs in Europe. The guy doesn't go forward. He doesn't put crosses in. He's slow. I mean, Ricky's gone and done an Instagram saying, pick a card. I've seen a clip of Scholes and Butt saying that Luke Shaw's one of the best left-backs in Europe. And I'm like, hold on a minute, Ricky. They've also said we shouldn't have sold Rashford. Well, so you can't, you could pick a card. You can't pick an opinion. You know, they've said stuff that you don't agree with. So I'm sorry, I'm not clipping up players and saying, look, they've said what I think. So, because I don't necessarily agree with any player consistently. But my point is about Mason Mount is that I just don't know whether Mason Mount's a fan favourite. Not a fan favourite. I think Mason Mount might be well-liked in the club. So I don't think they'll loan him. And I think sometimes this is where Man United go wrong. They keep people who are popular. And they don't keep... And those popular people might not actually be good enough. And I think there's loads of evidence of United keeping people at this football club way too long because they're popular. And I think Mason Mount being loaned out, it just feels like he's part of the furniture now, you know. If Mason Mount was Paul Pogba with all these injuries, there'd be a very different story around him. If Luke Shaw was Paul Pogba, the way he didn't play for United 6 months before the Euros and then played for England and then didn't play for us for 4 months after, there'd be a very different story around it. It's just the way the world works. But we should be used. Mason Mount, I think, I personally think Mason Mount's a talented footballer. I just think he's absolutely crippled with injuries and always will be. So you've got to move him on. Luke Shaw, for me, isn't the player he was, even though he's done remarkably well to stay fit. He's just not the player he was. There's a very valid reason why he's not in the England squad. And let's not forget, that was a big England squad. It was a 35-man England squad and he didn't get in it. And that was totally correct. So why Man United keeping these players? Money, I think. Can we get three midfielders from the Gold Devils next season, says Amit. And Patrick Lynch says, we already know what will happen. We'll get two early doors and a young winger and we'll get a decent third just before the deadline. Four deals is all we'll end up doing, just like summer. What I would say, Patrick, about timelines is that we do need to do a deal early, at least one, because when that World Cup happens, it's going to be curtains to, well, it, when the World Cup's on, it's an open door for Man United to go, well, the World Cup's on. The interesting thing about João Gomes is, I don't know, will he go to the World Cup? My from what I got told last week, and I have kept you up to date with this, really well sourced, not from the club, João Gomes, Man United, very, very likely to happen. But it needs to happen, like Cunha. It needs to be happening in April, late April, because once Wolves are relegated, that should make it happen. And also, if he goes to the World Cup, then you've got that window of time with João Gomes between Wolves being relegated and off to the World Cup. So, Mason Jones says, Mark, be honest, Mount on his day is actually decent. I mean, you know, sometimes I do wonder if am I muted? Mark, be honest, Mount on his day is actually decent. Mason, I don't remember every word I say on a show, but I literally said about 2 minutes ago, I think Mason Mount's a decent player. But he's riddled by injury, so you've got to get rid of him. Bilal Masterclass. I've got good players in the Gold Devils, very good players. What are your thoughts on Charles from Southampton? Could be a good squad player as the third or fourth midfield signing. Look, Josh, I'd need to do some work on him. I mean, what is not in doubt is that Southampton are playing fantastically well at the moment. But whether you should be bringing in a young championship midfielder to be your third midfielder, again, I think that's papering the cracks. Why would you need to go for a championship midfielder
when you could go and get João Gomes, James Garner, Adam Wharton, Angelo Stiller. You know, I don't think it's acceptable to bring in a young unknown midfielder this summer. I don't think it's acceptable to bring in potential this summer. There are multiple midfielders that are ready to go. Even Scott at Bournemouth is ready to go. João Gomes, ready to go. Tyler Adams, ready to go. Ampadu at Leeds, ready to go. Garner, ready to go. Yeah, there's no need to bring in a prospect. We should bring in three players that are ready to go, because as far as I'm aware, next season, we need to be ready to go. Like, we're going to have to be in the top five again, and we're going to be competing in the Champions League. It's not, next season's not a project. Next season's not a let's see how it goes. Next season's got to be, this is why I want an experienced coach. This is why I want experienced players. I don't want prospects, managers, prospect players. I don't think that's acceptable, because we'll end up back where we were last year, potentially. Right, thanks everyone for watching. Remember, it's a 7 o'clock show tonight. 8 o'clock for That's Football, Champions League night, PSG. Somebody said to me, actually, would you not want Liverpool to beat PSG because then Enrique might leave? Can you listen to yourself? Hello? Would I want Liverpool to win in the Champions League on the off chance that Enrique might leave and come to Man United? If I knew that that was a fact, I'd think about it. But I ain't doing it on a maybe. I ain't doing it on a trust me, bro. No, I want PSG to wipe their arse with Liverpool. Absolutely. Take care. Stay safe. And Bet's back with you at 2 as well. Speak to you all in a bit.